you, God, for the power of your word changes, transform our lives, give us hope instead of despair. Father, I speak Mark chapter 5 into our hearts today, even as we press through and pass the pain and the problem that we have in life to see Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So continuing from what I shared last week about partnership with God, about pressing through so that we can partner with God. So today, if you're taking notes, the title would be Press Through and Pass the Pain and Problem. Before we can partner with God, we have to deal with what's inside of us, what is in front of us, what is ahead of us, before we can move past that to partner with God with whatever He wants us to do here in our city and beyond. But often, we are very selfish people. We are very concerned with what is in our lives, around our lives, in front of our lives, and nothing more. And so our prayer is just me and me and me and me. And so that is the prayer of an infant believer. But I really believe that as a church, we have journeyed along and we have come in the last cycle, we should grow up. And therefore, our prayer should be extended far beyond just me. A little child will always ask from the parents, and their concern is me. But as we grow up, we need to break that selfishness and self-centeredness so that our focus is on others above self. With me? There are a lot of empty space here you may want to just fill up so that I don't have to look like this, you know, so that I can just look right in the middle. So come, if you are, it's not very cold today, I'm just wearing one very thin layer. So do come and fill up. We have some missing people today. And as a small little cozy church, when there are a few people missing, it seems like there's a big chunk of people missing, right? Some leaders are away. And so just that little skit, which I wanted it to be prolonged, but I cannot blame them because it was impromptu, to show you that we really need to arise with praise and with prayer. And the Lord wants us to be a praying church, to be a praise church. A church who knows how to pray, a church who knows how to praise, because God deserves our praise. Amen. And many times, just by praising Him, many obstacles and challenges are already settled. Even before we pray for breakthrough, sometimes the best weapon is praise. When you're feeling down, praise. When you're sick, you're not happy, but you can still be joyful, praise. And in the message, it says that our language should be thanksgiving. That means to say that every day, however you feel, we should be thanking God. Some people say, my situation is so bad. My days are so bad. Now, as long as you're still breathing, you're not dead, you should be thanking God. Right? Even if you have an accident, you survive, thank God, because it could have been worse. But even at a deathbed, my prayer is I will still be thanking God because I'm going home. That I'm excited to go back to the glory land. So we need to praise and pray. And the bleeding woman is a good example where we can learn from. And the Lord really showed me what it means to press through. Like the bleeding woman 4 years ago, when some of you know I have a medical condition to contend with. And that's when I saw, if the bleeding woman for 12 years, she can persevere and endure and still be able to see her breakthrough, then why can't I? But my prayer then was, God have mercy. 12 years is a long time, you know. A long time to sit up and sleep for 12 years. It's already 4 years, it's backbreaking. But even in that bleeding situation, it must be very traumatic to see blood every day. Some of you see a bit of blood, you're going to faint already. The worst scenario I had in dealing with blood was my first year as a nursing student. I had a bleeding patient because she was in a terminal stage of cancer of, I think it was colon or some woman reproductive system. And she was bleeding badly. And every time I clean her up, I give her a bedpan. You know what's a bedpan? Not for food, okay? A bedpan is a container that puts on your bum, okay? So that when you cannot go to the toilet, you sit on that pan to do your business. So every time I give the bedpan to that female patient, every time the output that comes up is dark, dark, very dark, almost black, red. And it's not watery, it's like jelly blocks. And it stinks like crazy. If you know how blood stink, if you cook, and I know many of you don't, huh? If you cook and you have to clean all those chicken blood or whatever animal blood, you know, it stink, right? How many of you have to do that? You're so pampered. You just go out and order your food. You know, you have to clean and it really stink. So imagine that block is like that. So every time I read this passage, it will remind me of that patient where she bled so badly. And every time I take that bedpan to the sluice room to wash it, you know, I'll be praying because I'm like, I can't take this, okay? I keep telling God, if nursing has to be like this, I don't know how long I can tahan this because I just feel like puking because it was so bad. The smell of the blood, that jelly block, was really bad. And so every time I read this, I thought, how traumatic it is to endure 12 long years. 12 years is very long. But we can learn from the desperation. Out of her desperation, she did not stop here. And many times God has to put situation in our life so that we can push through to see Him. Our situation, our desperation in any kind of situation should push us through, should drive us to that depth to see Jesus. It should drive us to spiritual depth. It should not keep us from going further. Some of us, when we are desperate, we plumb. We do nothing. So our whole butt just sink in that spiritual rut, and we do nothing about it. God may be an awesome God. God is an almighty God. God is a powerful God, and God wants to help us. But we need to get out of that rut and reach out into that spiritual depth for Christ. So the desperation we face in life must not cause us to sit there and do nothing. And say, God is gracious, God knows. If God is real, He will come to me. Yes, He would, and He could choose to do that. But many times, He wants us to also play our part, to get up and get going. And so when we are desperate, that desperation must drive us to the depth to see God. Are you with me? If you're in a desperate situation, don't just sit there. Do something. Be like that bleeding woman to push through everything because she has a quality that you and I must learn and ask from the Lord, determination. Because in life, if you can have desire, you can have discipline, but if you don't have this determination, you will not go far. You will not go in a long haul. The desire will die along the way. Discipline may also kaput because a lot of us are not very disciplined people. And no matter how disciplined we are, some days we are really terrible. But if we have the quality like a bleeding woman who is determined, it will cause us to keep pushing. It will cause us to keep enduring until we see the breakthrough. And think of your own situation. What is that desperate need in your life right now that's keeping you and I from seeing God? We have to pass that stage. We have to be determined like this woman. She was insignificant. She was not even mentioned. Her name was not even mentioned in that passage or all the gospel. We couldn't find her name. She was just termed a bleeding woman. So in the hospital, we are all trained not to call a patient by their diagnosis, cancer of colon, or by the bed, you know, bed number 125A, 125H. I know many nurses are guilty of doing that because it's easier to remember that than to remember people's names, you know, especially Indian names are very long. And everybody is Ramasamy, everybody is almost the same, you know, sometimes just the AP and AL. So we're trained to remember names and not call people by diagnosis and not call people by bed number. But here in the Bible, she was so insignificant, she was a nobody. She was just a bleeding woman. How do you like if people call you a bleeding man, a bleeding woman? She was a bleeding woman. She was insignificant. She was infirmed. But yet, she made a choice to push through that crowd that very day. Although she was a nobody, she did not care. She just pushed through. Although insignificant, she made a significant impact. Because that day, heads turned to look at her. She was infirmed, but she pushed through that crowd to make a very firm influence and impact in that community, I believe. Suddenly, people realized her existence. I'm not asking you to push through so that people will realize there's a Joseph in our midst. There's a Reuben in our midst. There's an Emmanuel. That should not be our motive. But in that desperation, when we want to see God, then no matter what it takes, we want to push through, past every pain that we have, past our problem, past that crowds. Don't care who we are. Don't care where we are. Don't care what people will think of us. Don't care what people will say of us, because she's probably a threat and a stigma in the society at that day. Because she was a bleeding woman. And when a woman is bleeding, she's unclean. And you don't touch an unclean woman. So those days, and even when I was yet a believer, I was trained, I was taught that we cannot worship God. We cannot enter a temple. We cannot pick up the joystick to worship when you're having your monthly menses. Because you're unclean. Only the guys have no problem. Every day, they can go to the temple and pray. But when girls don't enter the temple and pick up the joystick and pray, everybody knows that she's unclean. And so the Hebrew culture is the same too. The Bible time culture is the same too. When a woman is bleeding, you don't even touch where she's sick. That means if she's bleeding and she gets out from that seat, you don't even sit there or touch because that thing is unclean. So that is the stigma of a bleeding woman, but she did not care. She can't be bothered. She pressed through with desperation and determination to see Jesus. To see who? To see Jesus. So what is blocking us from seeing Jesus today? We need to press through. We need to push through. We need to say, God, I'm desperate. But I'm determined. I want to see you. I want to see you. And she set her heart to touch Jesus. In those days, the juba, or the cloak that Jesus wear, the commentary says, you know, it's like a long juba with four tassels. And probably the old woman, the bleeding woman, it didn't say she's old, so I do not know how old she is, but she's bleeding. You know, she pressed through, and all she did was touch that tassel. One of the four tassels that was dangling there, that's all she touched. She did not even, you know, in my prayer, I don't know about you guys, but every time in my prayer when I say, God, I want to touch you, what are you looking at when you say, God, I want to touch you? Cat, what do you look at? What do you imagine when you say, God, I want to touch you? Hand. I took your hand. Oh my goodness, sorry. I don't know why this two weeks is you. I'm sorry. Okay, hand. What do you see when you say, God, I want to touch you? His cloak. So biblical. His cloak. people behind. Dermin.
Hands.
Ruben. Heart. You want to hug Jesus. Inhan.
Hand.
Hand on him. So outer one. Kelvin. What do you want to touch when you say, I want to touch you, God, I want to touch you? Face. You're very external people. Maybe I'm a nurse. I always say, God, when I want to touch Jesus, I want to touch the heart. I want to touch the heart. I want to touch what's inside here, because when I can get hold of the heart, I can feel his heartbeat. When I can get hold of that heart, I get hold of the supply, the life supply. Because the heart pumps out blood into the entire body. So when I say, God, I want to touch you, I'm always seeing the heart. I want to touch that heart. I want to touch that heart. If I can touch Jesus' heart, I get the power. Why do you want to touch hands or knee? Huh? Because when you touch the hand, you can hold the hand. Not necessarily you got the person, you know. Because you don't know what is that evil heart. No, I'm just saying, everybody has a different imagery when you say you want to touch God. What do you want to touch? But personally, I always envision, I want to touch Jesus' heart. And vice versa, I say, God, just as I want to touch your heart, I want your hand to touch my heart. Meaning to say, go right through, inside here. Touch here. Don't just touch here, but touch here. And that's why I say, worship team last week, don't get me wrong when I say you don't move. I'm not asking you to perform. I'm not asking for skill. Of course, you need to be able to sing and play to be here. But I'm not asking that you should be so excellent or spiritually so high to stand here, because all of us cannot be spiritually 100% perfect here. We are imperfect people still in the journey. But what I'm saying last week is, when we touch God's heart and God touch our heart, the worship flows from here. Because the Bible says that out of this valley flow streams of living water. And so when you're worship leading here, when you're singing here, when you're playing, it must come out from here. And when it comes out from here, it's natural that your body moves, because we are made one. And when we are worshiping in that, we're worshiping in spirit and in truth. Because God doesn't just connect us in the cognitive level. God connects us in the heart, in the spirit level. And that's why he talked to the Samaritan woman that we worship God in spirit and in truth. Truth meaning to say the Bible, the revelation of God's word. Spirit is something that you cannot catch hold like that. It's spirit. It's unseen. And that's why we encourage people, if you want to go into the long extended prayer, words alone cannot suffice. It cannot take you there. You need to learn a spiritual language. You need to ask for the gift of tongue to take you from the natural into the spiritual. Because every time we start praying, we always start with the decision to pray up here. And that's why it's in the flesh. We will operate in the flesh when it starts up here. But it has to start up here before you go into the spirit. And so you can only launch when your spirit will connect with God's spirit, when tongue breaks out. And this is my personal experience. I was a prayer all my life after I became a Christian, because I grew up or got saved in a very, very conservative church where no woman shall be heard. What can I serve? The same old thing. If you are a girl or a woman, you serve by doing flower arrangement and bring your flower on Sunday and put it on the table. I don't know why guys don't do that, because most of the florists I know of, they are guys. And women's job or role in the church is make coffee and lay the cookies. Again, most chef are guys. But I don't know why. It's so stereotyped in church. And so I prayed to the Lord. I said, I'm not a flower arrangement person. And I don't particularly like to do coffee and cookies. You know, I said, where can I serve God? And my desire was to pray and say, God, I want to pray. I want to serve through prayer. But there's no such thing as a prayer ministry in my church then. Everybody are expected to come for prayer. And prayer is one group of men, old men, young ladies, old ladies. And then by the end of the prayer, everybody is... And so prayer was equipped to boring. Only our cool people go for prayer meetings. And so I said, God, I want to serve through prayer, in prayer. I don't need to be heard. I don't need to be seen. And so it's a very secure ministry. I cannot be faulted with whether I'm good enough or not. Only you hear my voice. And so I began to pray for everything that I think God was leading me. But came to a point in my life, in my fifth year of Christian walk, I felt that my prayer was not going through. It was just not going through. It's like it reached a plateau, like, hey, the graph goes up and it got stuck there. Like, God, come on. You know, I feel like I'm not growing, you know, and I was desperate for growth. And so one day I was interceding. I was praying. I was praying for someone I love very much. I was praying for my sister, my one and only sister. And I was standing at my parents' my parents' flat, and looking ahead is Penang Hill. And I was praying, and I was praying, and I was praying, and I was praying. And suddenly, the Spirit of the Mighty God just came on me, boom. And then my tongue started rolling. I was like, God, what is this? What is this? And then my tongue started rolling. Now, in my church, nobody talks about tongues. Nobody speaks about tongues. Nobody teaches about tongues. If you speak in tongues, you're of the devil. See? So when they came in my time, I was freaking out. I was like, what language is it? I know, because people prayed for me. My friends prayed for me. And I put up this wall. It's like, okay, they can pray for me. But I'm so careful that my tongue doesn't roll. You know? So like, make sure that my tongue doesn't roll. But that night when I was praying intensely, desperately for a breakthrough, the Spirit of God came. And my tongue rolled. And I couldn't stop. And I knew it was God. Because nobody was there to pray for me in tongues. I knew it was the Spirit of God. And suddenly, my intercession broke through. And suddenly, my prayer life broke through. Suddenly, I went to that spirit realm that I was never able to go through. That barrier was torn down. And that's why that is the beauty of speaking in tongues. And so if you have that desire to ask for that gift, do not be afraid like me, thinking that is of the devil. And so this lady who was bleeding, she was so desperate, she was determined, as she pushed through, she was a nobody, she was insignificant, she did not even have a name mentioned, but her heart was set on seeing, touching God. And that should be our heart. That should be her heart, that we are set to touch God. Just, you can't get your heart just the cloak. I'm not contented. You know, I'm not like that. I'm very tumsim, you know. I'm very, how to say tumsim, huh? Greedy. I want more. And that tassel is not enough. So what did she have? She had nothing. She only had one thing. She had nothing except faith. She had nothing except faith. But God says in the Bible that if your faith is small like a mustard seed, you know what's a mustard seed? If you do not know, go to Tesco, go to the spice section and look for mustard seed. It's called bijani. I forgot. Come on, cook. Is it bijisawi? It's like so tiny. So the Bible says if you have faith, just like the mustard seed, you can move mountains. And one of the book of Psalms says that we should have faith that will move mountains and make them into molehills so that you can walk across. And church, we need to arise to pray. We need to arise to praise. And that's why we set aside high praise for last Sunday, to give that intensified praise for the God who deserves our all. Yes. Because God deserves our praise. And when we praise and we pray and we push through with that intense praise and prayer, something must happen in your heart, your spirit, and something must happen in my heart and my spirit. Prayer cannot be contained just in the prayer room. I'm not saying there's anything wrong praying in the prayer room, but when we pray in a prayer room for a long time, something supernatural must happen in our spirit. And that's why last week I mentioned that when I talk to someone in Australia, he says, all I want to do is just be in the prayer room. I said, that's good, but that's not good enough, because all I want to do is also be in the prayer room. But the Lord says, you cannot just be in the prayer room, because if you want your life to be a witness, all that happens in the prayer room must compel you to go out and do something. Yes, our prayer must lead to partnership with God. Our prayer, out of that prayer time with God, something must happen inside here, in our spirit. To partner with God, practically, we can't just keep praying, God provide for this person, God bless this person. A lot of times, after we do that kind of prayer, God will say, how about you go and bless this person? How about you set aside to provide for this person? Have it happened to you? It has happened to me. Out of prayer time with the Lord, when we are touching God's heart, face, hands, wherever, heart, Robin said, something must happen to cause us to move into action, and radical action. And one of the mandate given to us is radical faith, which is will lead us to radical action. Prayer must lead us to give practically in kind and in deeds. Whether it's offering our service, our help, or giving practically through finance, through giving, it must happen. Prayer is not passive. It will lead us to active doing. Prayer must lead us into intercession. You say, huh? Prayer must lead us into intercession. After you have dealt with this heart and this spirit, we have to move from praying just words for ourselves, or some people like prayer items. I really have moved away from that. I can't do prayer items prayer anymore. I'm like, God, just lead us in prayer time. We must lead us into intercession, because intercessory role is very different from just praying. Because in order to intercede, we have talked about this sometime back in our night prayer type. When you intercede for a situation or someone, you are stepping into that situation, or you're stepping into the life of that person, whether the person know or not. Then only you can intercede. You cannot intercede without feeling the empathy or the sympathy. Sympathy is not enough. You must have empathy to be able to intercede effectively. Yes. So I can pray for someone, but I need not be interceding for someone. Because intercession demands you to give yourself up and go into that shoe of that person. And that's why sometimes intercessors will freak people out, because they're weeping and crying. And then people are like, every time she goes into the breast, every time she enters the breast, she's crying. She's not crying for herself. Because she's feeling the emotion of another person when God's Spirit comes. The spirit of intercession comes upon the intercessor and take over. She's weeping and carrying the burden, not her burden, but someone else's burden. And that's why It requires a lot of hard work to be intercessor. So prayer should lead us to practical giving. Prayer should lead us into praying for others. Prayer should lead us into intercession. Maybe not all of us are called into intercessory ministry. Fair enough. But all of us are called to pray. Do you get the distinction? Yeah? So all of us are called to pray. We may not be called to be intercessors, but we're all called to pray. But if the Lord has gifted you to be an intercessor, then you need to respond to it. You need to obey and walk in that calling. Because I know a lot of people say, oh no, this is scary. I don't even know why I'm crying. It can be very scary. Because in the early stage of my intercession life, I remember once when God asked me to pray for the Spirit of God, moved my heart to pray for someone whom I didn't even know what she was going through, but it was just a burden. And so I didn't really know what to pray. And so when you don't really know what to pray, the gift of tongue comes into play. Because that will take over. Because if you're just going to use the words, it's just very difficult to move into intercession. But I remember there was the early days of intercessory ministry for me. And I walked into the bathroom and I looked into the mirror and I hated what I see. I was just seeing myself. But that night when I saw myself, I just hate that face. I feel like, I was just crazy. I just felt like, I didn't like that face, you know. And I never felt before, and it scared me. Because I felt like, what's wrong with me? Suddenly, I'm feeling like this. Why am I looking at my face, and I'm feeling so, like, it was so bad. That Pastor Ed, I'm sure you cannot remember it. He came out, I came out from the bathroom, and he came out, and he saw me in this crazy state. He almost wanted to slap me to wake me up. He was like, no, Pastor Ed has never abused me. No, he may look very stern. He has never hit me. Never. Never raised his hand. But there was this one time. He raised his hand. He felt like he wanted to slap me, but he stopped there. It must be the Spirit of the Lord that stopped him. That's not. And now I say, I don't know what's happening to me, but I'm feeling very scared. I say, I feel like I need to be praying for this person. I say, but I'm just like, I just cannot handle it. You know, I just couldn't handle that emotion that was coming forth. And so people can get scared when you don't know how to handle it. And that's why the gift of tongue is very important. And so, very briefly, the bleeding woman, what we see, she pressed through the crowd because she was desperate. But her desperation did not stop there. She was determined. She was determined for a breakthrough. And every time we press in for breakthrough, it's not just for ourselves. When we press in for breakthrough, that breakthrough always make open doors for other people who come behind us. Are you with me? Always. The breakthrough is not just for ourselves. It's always for people around us and always people behind us. When we break through that, someone else will get the breakthrough as well. And we will praise and we will pray like this woman. We may not have anything, but we have faith. Amen? Do you have faith? If not, ask. And prayer must do something in us. Practical giving. Pray some more. Intercede some more. You may feel insignificant like the woman, but she will get significant impact when she determines the pressure. You may be infirm. I may be infirm in some ways. But when we press through, we're going to see a firm impact in our society. So church, we need to arise. We need to arise. And as I was praying for today, I say, God, as usual, give me one word that is for the church for today. And the word is fluid. Fluid. And fluid basically means that we are to be adaptable, we are to be flexible. We do not want to be a church that's confined within the four walls. And I know that God has kept us very humble and walking in step with His Spirit in our nomadic experience. We have moved so many times. And we're very thankful for this place here, that we can come together and worship. But it's not a permanent place because we don't know after this. But through that, we have been kept humble. Through that, He keeps us very on our toes, what's next. And so God wants us to be fluent. God do not want us to build a building and be contented with that building. Praise God for big buildings, for mega churches, but that is not the calling for this church. So if you're dreaming to sit in a big, nice, beautiful, majestic mansion where a cross is visible up there, elevators and lifts, I'm sorry you're in the wrong church, because we are a nomadic church. Not very comforting for some of you, but that will cause faith to arise. That will cause us to walk in Galatians chapter 6, 3, 5, to keep in step with the Spirit. God wants us to be flexible, because when He says fluid, fluid basically means it can be gas, it can be liquid. Fluid basically means that we cannot be confined in a shape or form. And that's not what we want. Our prayer is we should not be confined in a shape or form, a tradition, but we should change as the Lord moves. And so, when we say we want to be fluid, means that we are substance that has no fixed shape or form. Wherever God pours us into whichever kind of shape, we become that shape. Ta-da! Are you with me? I want to do this experiment, but I was in a rush and I didn't bring. You know, water or any kind of liquid, when you pour into different size and shape of containers, it just becomes that shape. When you pour in an open space, it just splatter. There is no form or shape. And so it doesn't yield easily to external pressure. That's who we are to be. This is what God is saying today, that we are to be fluid, flowing, gas. Can you capture gas and see the shape? So I pray that we will be fluid people. I'm saying fluid means go with God's flow. Not tida apa attitude. That's different. Go with God's flow and partner with God. And we have tremendous work for a small size of church on a Sunday. I like to say that because our church is not only 40 people on a Sunday, because we do see people outside the church every day. Right? And like I was saying last week, this new believer who looked at another pre-believer and not just say that you are not one of us, but to consider him brother and sister and call him one of the sons and daughters of God as well. And so church is not just confined to a Sunday attendance. So what can we do as a church in this season to arise? Of course, pray. Of course, praise. But I want us to move into partnership with Pastor Ed has said from 2 weeks ago. Move into partnership, like really praying intensely for the city and nation and nations.